Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Greg Rebe. Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
Carter Hutton. What else is there to say? I mean, that was a spectacular performance last night by Carter Hutton, especially in the third period. Shots were, 19-2, I think it was?
Yep.
47 saves last night, back-to-back shutouts. Well, not back-to-back shutouts, but for him, back-to-back shutouts. He didn't play in Anaheim. But good for him. Outstanding instigators, Andrew and Craig today. Darren Dreger at 11:30. And, you know, we'll talk a lot of things around the league with him. If there's any more rumor on Sabres being involved in any trades whatsoever, because I think sometimes when you see a team get off to a start like this that have made some moves in the offseason, they might want to try to continue to add to it to keep the success rolling.
That's right.
When you say add to it, yesterday at the end of the show or during the show, we talked about some things. By the way, good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
Yeah,
great. It's good morning. Yeah. Well, you know what?
It's a good morning. Is it a good morning, though? You're Craig's having a tough day, and this isn't one of those mood things where you go and you say, you know, he's in a bad mood. But for those of you out there that are you know, diehard sports fans, you might be into fantasy football or fantasy hockey or fantasy sports, whatever. And Rivs took a bad one last night. You took one literally right in the
kneecap. Listen, I mean, people all across, you know, North America took a hard one last night. If you had Patrick Mahomes, which I did, my first year in fantasy, and I tell you, I love it. I am right now currently GM of the year. There is no question about it.
Managing many teams.
Yep.
Even my team.
Well, you know, you need a little help. But listen, I mean... devastating loss last night with Mahomes. And, you know, listen, yeah, I remember I was telling you a story about that one guy that we work with that did the most...
pretty despicable move.
Just a terrible.
Pretty
terrible,
bad move.
Right? We talked about him taking... I didn't know how to work the phone and I didn't know how to get changing defenses. And he ended up taking the defense. You guys all heard that story last week. Well, he's at it again. They're all over me this morning because I lost my quarterback in fantasy, and they all want to trade with me now. And I said, no, I'm just gonna go pick up this Minshew guy, the guy with the mustache. You know, he's awesome. 2 seconds later, the same meatball.
It's fair. We can call him a rat now.
He's a rat.
It's official.
He was a rat last week. Now he's the super rat. Well, he did it again. He just went and picked up. What is it? What's his first name?
I don't know. Minshew.
Minshew, yeah.
I don't know his
Carter.
Name.
Anyway.
Carter Minshew.
He's got a great mustache and headband, and that was going to be my guy to fill in for Mahomes. And
if you have a fantasy team and you want to give Riv some advice on what to do, you can tweet him at CraigRivet52 because, again, this is a hockey show. Although I think we should take a few minutes out of every day so you can give a fantasy football update or fantasy. Do you do fantasy hockey? Are you in a fantasy league for hockey? No. I'm not in a fantasy league for hockey. I kind of got roped into this football thing here, too.
Yeah, I love the football. I've never put more time into the fantasy because here's the thing. I mean, it's really exciting for me because I don't know a lot about the league. I don't know the players as much. I'm going to tell you right now, I know a lot. I know a lot more than what the guys in the back give me credit for, but I'm not going to tell them that because I didn't even want Minshew. I am so far ahead of you.
So
Rip, it's unbelievable.
Rip completely said, I want Carter Minshew, and he goes in and he knew that Kevin was going to do this. So Riv said he wanted Minshew. Kevin goes and gets Minshew, and Riv goes and
takes
gets
a guy off his roster, puts in this quarterback, and I'm
and
already
then Riv
I've
goes
already...
and takes the guy that he took off his roster and puts it in his lineup. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Anyway, Good for you. Speaking of good for...
How about them Sabres?
Yeah, how about them Sabres? Not the perfect game, but again, they don't ask how. They ask how many. Last night was a win. It was an ugly road win. You need those in a back-to-back game on a West trip. It's not an easy trip, ladies and gentlemen. Three games in four nights. But I will say this. We have been saying, would love to get the middle stat line going.
Yeah, really,
you know, we've
happy.
Seen Eichel line. We've seen Johansson line. Larson line getting a lot of praise for how they're playing, and you know the VC middle stat, it was Rodriguez, out goes Rodriguez, in goes Sherry Baby, and you know, he puts one in the back of the net early. I'm not saying it was Sherry, but I'm just saying it's great for Mittelstadt, VC to get going, and whoever's playing on that wing with them, whether it's Erod or Connor Sherry, but take it
away. You know, I'm sure Casey Mittelstadt is probably going to hear this about 50 times today. Hey, Casey, how many points did you get last night? And what is he going to reply with?
That's a trick question.
I had three. No, actually, you have two. Everybody got the win, Casey. It's a team
game. Don't be selfish.
I know you had 3 points, but the team had two, so you had 2 points. Actually, you know what? Casey, you had 3 points last night. 2 goals, 1 assist, +2. And let me tell you, he was jumping. He was jumping with his line. I thought Jimmy Vesey got his first point as a Sabre, made a real nice play on the first goal, which Casey one-timed. So happy that he got on the board, Casey Mittelstadt. So happy for Jimmy Vesey. And let me tell you, the water bug came back. I mean, his legs, and he's flying. He's shooting pucks from his knees. One times a beautiful pass from Casey Mittelstadt in the two-on-one. Connor Sheary, really, really good to get him back too. So that line played well, and what is really refreshing is, listen, nobody who watched that game last night in Saberland is going to say that we deserved wholeheartedly to win the game. They got up 3-0 in the first period. The last 40 minutes of the game was like the Sabres turned their sticks over, did not have blades, and all they did the entire period was defend for the last two periods. Hence, getting outshot 19-2 in the third period. And in the second period, I have never seen an opposing team play that much time in one zone. And listen, the nice thing about it is this. There is room for improvement. And there needs to be improvement with this team. There are lines that still have not clicked yet. But what I will say is, defensively as a whole, this team is on a different stratosphere than what they were last year. They have structure. They know exactly what they're going to do. They're doing a good job shutting things down. Even though they're allowing shots, they're not dangerous shots. And you know what? Listen, I mean, another win in our column, but what I love the comments that Ralph Krueger spoke about last night. He said, you know, certain things have not become habit yet. Ralph Krueger is not a miracle worker. This team that he has, a lot of the players are from past coaches that have coached different styles, different ways.
Leftover from last year's system.
He has taken a brand new team, and the first thing that he's trying to change is the mindset. The mindset in which they go to the rink every day, how they practice, how they learn. They're doing, I'm sure, a lot of video. I'm sure they're communicating on what needs to be done. On the ice is a different story. There are still things that are ingrained in certain players that it's going to take time for them to smooth things out. And they are not a perfect team. The record is solid. And yes, they've played a lot of minutes this year that look really fantastic. But there are still holes in their game. And this is
lots
something
of teams
that
are
still
ironing out kinks.
Yes, they're ironing out kinks. Ralph Krueger and how he wants them to play, the mindset that they have, is still a work in progress. It was not a perfect game the last two games that I've seen. That being said, there's really good things that they're going to watch, and there's things that they need to improve on. And that's the good thing about what we see in the Sabres right now. They're putting some wins on the board, but this is a team that is much more skilled than what we've seen in the past, and they're still working things out.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, I know LA is 2-5, but they have some good players. I mean, Kovalchuk was a post away from making that a very close game.
Yep.
And the thing is you need that kind of luck, okay? You're not going – they could have won that game in Anaheim. I think that's more frustrating to me still than last night's, you know, second half of the game.
Yeah.
Because they didn't blow 2 points in Anaheim. They didn't get 2 points that I thought they could have. And
yeah.
They didn't deserve it
to win the 2 points. Yes. is the thing.
But they were given the chances, like that power play at 1-for-7 or whatever it was. I mean, you know, of all the nights to not be clicking, give Anaheim credit. And I don't want to go back in time, okay? But I mean, it's like we have to remember that the goalies, in whatever fashion, 47 shots, 18 shots, whether it's. You know, you can have a goalie that stands on his head and he only gets 20 shots because he has to stop 7 prime time scoring chances. Like, you need your goalie to steal you a
Listen,
game. You
I mean,
need
Carter Hutt in the second period.
It might be a wake up call, an enormous wake up call for this team, because they know going into San Jose that they're going to have to tighten up. They're going to have to tighten up, and they can't rely on Carter Hutton or Starter Hutton, if you want to quote Trey White. To make you another, you know, 45, 50 saves in a game. So, look, you need your goalie to steal a game. He was fantastic. I was really happy for Mittelstadt's line getting going. Really happy for Connor Sheary, because here's the thing, right? Tough year last year. Gets off to a really good start this year. Gets hurt. And I know he wasn't out for long, but still, that time off can kind of maybe spoil a little bit of your momentum. And he picks right back up where he left off. And hopefully... you know, that translates into a continued, you know, improved season from last year.
Yeah, well, I think
he needs it. He wants it, right? I mean, everybody wants to have a good year.
Yeah, I think the coaches and the, you know, Dennis Miller in particular is one of the guys that works with the injured players or players that are not in the lineup. Dennis Miller has been with the Sabres for a long time. It's probably a name that not a lot of people know, but he is behind the scenes guy. He is the guy that runs these injured players through workouts to make sure that when they step into the lineup, they are ready to rock and roll. And I think Dennis Miller does a fantastic job for the Sabres to get these guys ready. Hence, watching Connor Sheary come in. I mean, Connor Sheary looked absolutely fantastic in the time that he played. He didn't play a whole lot. I think he was just over 10 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. But in those 10 minutes, he was noticeable. He was very fast, very quick, and he made some great, great plays. And, you know, that's a tribute to these guys keeping these guys up to speed when they're injured.
Erod taken out of the lineup. You know, there's a conversation there, and from the standpoint of this is going to be a, you know, he comes out for Sheary to go in, and you know, he went to arbitration, he got a $2 million award. He is looking to have a huge season. Erod is, right? And in whatever capacity he can to contribute in any way. And this is where I think people that aren't necessarily inside those walls understand this is where a guy needs to try to stay as positive as possible. You know what I'm saying? Like in order to stay ready. I mean, and it's hard.
You know,
it's hard for a guy like Erod.
What's hard for the third 13th forward on any team is when you get your opportunity, you better take advantage of it.
You're under a microscope.
You're under a microscope. You need to play yourself into the lineup, and you need to stay there. So in the two games that Erod Sheary was out, Erod went in those two games. There was nothing in those two games that you would say that, hey, I think we're going to keep this because I really like how this line's going. I really like how this player's going. Not to say that Erod was bad, because I'm not, that's not what I'm saying.
But other players maybe were the same. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, maybe there wasn't enough for him to change the lineup.
Yeah.
I mean, who else? I mean, you asked me the other day about who else you take out. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make about Erod is basically...
Erod's in a situation where he's basically taking maybe two guys out of this lineup. You're not changing the Larson, Gergensen, and Oposo line. I hate to say it, but they have played exceptionally well. They're
and that
hard
would normally be the line that would be the first line you would change.
Exactly. But let's not do the 1-2-3-4 anymore.
Right.
Let's do how these guys are playing as a whole, and that line's playing fantastic. Now you have the Jack Eichel line with Reinhart and Olofsson, which has not clicked 5-on-5 yet. They really haven't, but that's okay. Allow them to mature together. You're going to have a few ups and downs with this until they can figure that out. There's a lot of skill on that line, a lot of shooters, a lot of playmakers. I mean, they have it. They just need to continue to work through it.
Winning's great. And you're getting a scoring from Casey Mittelstadt's line with VC and Sherry last night was huge. The fact that they were able to put up all the goals to win the team the game, that's enormous because they haven't been producing offensively.
Yep.
My point to that would be, how long do you go? Maybe winning is one thing, but success with your 5-on-5 and your stars and everybody getting points, how long do you go before you maybe try to tinker with things? Because if, let's just say hypothetically, Eichel, Reinhart, and Olofsson aren't working, right? 5-on-5, not working maybe 5-on-5, or maybe, and you might need to get some different looks. That's not saying that Olofsson is off of the first power play unit.
Nope.
If you were to try something different,
yeah.
Or, and I'm only using Olofsson as an example because he's kind of a huge piece to the power play and he's playing on the top line. So what I'm saying is that you
can tinker around with the lineup a little bit. And for me, that would be something that I would look at, but we're talking Jack Eichel. He is an elite player in the National Hockey League. His job is to make players around him better. That's why he's getting paid $10 million. Okay? Okay, who's he playing with? Sam Reinhart? Okay, well, he's a pretty damn good player. So now you have two exceptionally good players that are high-level players. So you're going to tell me because they haven't scored 5-on-5 that it's from Victor Olofsson?
No, that's
Victor
not
Olofsson is a very good player. He's highly talented. He's a shooter. He's fast. Just give the line an opportunity to find some gel. That's all I'm saying. There's no need right now whatsoever to be tinkering around with anything. Allow these guys time to build chemistry. Give them another 8 games. Give them another 10 games. It might be 18 games when you might say, you know what? They're great players, but they're not finding it together. Let's move something. Right now, they don't need to do that. Have they been good 5-on-5, that line? They have not been. They really haven't been great. They haven't kind of gelled together yet. I would not be looking to change anything. That's just my opinion.
I would allow what
we have going on with all four of our lines right now. Casey Mittelstadt's line, VC Sheary is back. They were very good.
Well, back. I mean, you know, they just got started.
Well, I'm talking at the start of the year when they played together. They played very well together.
Mittelstadt had 2 assists in the first game, I guess, yeah, right, with Sheary.
And Sheary had a couple goals. And Jimmy Vesey, as much as he hasn't had any points, has been a silent guy with positioning and poise with the puck and working hard. That's a good line.
I
wouldn't be tinkering with anything right now. Allow these players to build some chemistry within one another.
I think, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, you know what we're talking about here is that at 6-1-1, there's no room to be satisfied, I think is what we're saying. And it's not the perception of the team. It's how a team philosophy works. It's like, look, yeah, we're 6-1-1, but there's still lots of areas for us to dial in on. And that's all I'm saying is that at 6-1-1, you're able to win games, not play your best hockey, and still be able to know that there are things that, hey, we can get better in a lot of areas, and that's only a good sign. If you're sitting here going, we're hanging on by the skin of our teeth here, like, you know, that 10-game run last year, this is much different. I mean, if the Sabres were 8-0, these eight games, last night was kind of a feeling of that 10-game win. It was very, you know, a lot of chances against, a lot of shots against, goaltender-driven, right? Like, our goaltenders during that 10-game stretch were phenomenal. They were phenomenal.
Yeah.
I remember one of our goalies last year in that Pittsburgh game where Sabres, I think they were up 3-0 or down 3-0, and they came back to win, but they had to stop Malkin on a breakaway, and there were some primetime chances. Last night felt like that, but other games haven't felt like that. So all I'm saying is that it's great to be able to sit here, praise the team for the record, praise a line for succeeding, but also not be satisfied with how they played.
And I don't think I'll tell you this.
Is that fair to say?
No question.
Is it
exactly what you want to hear. And I think, to be honest with you, I believe that that is the message going around that locker room. There should be nobody on that team walking around with a little swagger in their step saying, look at us, we're 6-1-1. I'm going to tell you something. As much as this team has scored a lot of goals, we've scored 30 goals in 8 games. We are right now currently second in the league in goals for. Okay, the only team above us is Toronto Maple Leafs at 31. We are, the goal output has been fantastic, okay? But there is room for improvement. If you go across the border to Toronto Maple Leafs right now and you look at them, they're in the same boat. As much as they're scoring a lot of goals, they also have 28 against, where we have 18. We're defending much better than Toronto Maple Leafs. And in the long term, if we continue the goal output and play good, strong defense, we are going to win games and maybe games that we don't deserve to win.
Yeah, like that's
because
the coach
we're outshot.
Saying, that's the coach saying to you, we tighten up in a few key areas here. We tighten up. We have the goaltending. We have the offense. We have good defensemen.
Yeah.
If we tighten up in a couple areas here, we're going to win a lot of hockey games. And we're not just going to beat teams like LA, and we're not just going to beat teams that are at the bottom. You're going to beat good teams. You're going to beat good hockey teams because you're going to get your chances in the power play. Like, I think Anaheim is a very underrated team going into this season. Very underrated. After watching
Listen,
them the other
you
night,
look at
I think
their
they
lineup,
were a little better.
When you
were,
go
Sabres
lineup,
are right there with them.
Right there. Sabres have, I think, loads more talent than Anaheim.
Probably.
Anaheim plays a style, though, that is very big. They're very aggressive. They're very heavy. They're going to dump, chase, grind, hit, and intimidate. And guess what? They did just that to the Buffalo Sabres in Anaheim. They didn't do anything special. They're big and they're aggressive. And they're grinders. Throw a few skilled players in there in Silverberg and Ricard Raquel. Other than that, it goes downhill very quickly with more grinder type players. They're just a different makeup of team. They're going to give teams fits this year, Anaheim.
Everybody, 11:30, Darren Dreger. We're going to talk about, obviously, the word defender and trade and all of that stuff with Darren Dreger, if there's any rumors out there floating around, whether it's Risto or anybody else, because the question comes up, and we'll talk about it in the next break, because I think it's interesting, and it goes off of what Elliot Friedman said yesterday. Is he said defender, and when I read his 31 thoughts, and he came on and he said, it sounds like the Sabres could be interested. Tell me if I heard this properly, because I don't want to spread a bad rumor. Could be possibly looking to move a defenseman not named Ristolainen?
That's exactly what he said.
Okay, good. All right, so
I don't think that Ristolainen's not in conversations. I think Ristolainen's in many conversations with Jason Botterill. I think he's listening to everybody. Does that mean he's going to trade Risto? Does that mean he wants to trade Risto? That's going to determine on what comes back in a trade. I don't think they're looking, because we always just assume that you have Montour, who's going to be one of our top defensemen coming into the lineup. There's no question about it. He is right primed and ready at his age and the amount he's played in the league and his skill set and everything, that he is going to be a very, very good defenseman for this team. That being said, we automatically, or I should say, I'll just put myself, I automatically think about Risto being the guy that's going to be moved. Well, as of per Elliot the other day, There is others that have been inquired about on the Sabres defense. So that's an eye-raising thing. We haven't talked about that in the past. We just talked about Risto. But now Risto, I'm sure, is in conversations, in the conversation. But there also are other defensemen in the conversations.
I think I don't know. I think one makes sense, but I will ask you this. You said about Risto. You said depends on the return for a trade for Risto.
Yes.
There was a player yesterday in the NHL called out his coach, called out his team, and he's been in trade rumors already, so you wonder. And he's a good player.
Yep.
You wonder if maybe that guy would be a guy that you could bring in here. I'll ask Craig what he thinks about this player when we return, and we'll talk more about what happens when Brandon Montour comes back. Instigators, 11:30, Darren Dreger. We'll get around the league with him, and we'll be right back after the break.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
All right, welcome back. It is, day is it?
Friday all day.
Sabres play tomorrow night, 10:30 in San Jose. Last night, or yesterday, Jason Zucker. I think more than a meeting is going to have to jumpstart us, to be honest with you. It's going to be each individual guy from Bruce Boudreau on down, Zucker told Michael Russo of The Athletic. Bruce has got to be better. We've got to be better. Everyone's got to be better. That's it. Darren Dreger had Bill Guerin on, the new general manager of the Minnesota Wild, on his podcast. We'll ask him if anything like this came up. But Zucker.
Ouch.
Well, ouch on the comments. But look at it. I mean, what's wrong with what he's saying? If this is, look at their record. Look at their record. What are they going to say? This is a guy that's not sugarcoating it. Their coach has got to be better. They're 1-5. Their players have got to be better. They're 1-5. Their goalies, he didn't say anything about goalies. Their goalies have got to be better. They're 1-5. He's got to be better. He used Bruce by his first name. Guess what? Bruce Boudreau has been called out by every team eventually at some point for his coaching style. I don't think this is so bad. I mean,
yeah.
Well, it's just because it's Zucker and his name has been brought up in trades. But I mean, who knows if he even wants to be there anymore after he's been traded and it was shot down by Phil Kessel.
I mean, his name was rampant through the trade rumors all summer long.
His wife was tweeting about it. I mean, it's like it's got to be emotional on a guy like that.
Fenton,
yes,
was not the last GM there. Got brought in. He was only there for what, 1 year?
Yeah, and then about 14 months or something.
And then got fired. And you have Zucker's wife tweeting stuff out about that. And I mean, when times are tough, keep things internal and work them out. This is not going to help anybody. It's not going to help Bruce. It's not going to help the players. And why is it not going to help the players? Why do you think? Because you not think that
it puts a spotlight on
them? A spotlight. Now every media member is licking their chops like it's a filet mignon, saying this is awesome.
That's a new item on a menu.
Okay, so now you have all the players on the team are going to have to answer all these questions about what Zucker said about Bruce Boudreau, because this is going to be about losing. It's going to be about Bruce needs to be fired. It's going to be about this. And now all of a sudden, there's going to be more concern about the outside crap and less about the stuff that needs to be fixed in the room.
What's with the meetings after games? Why not have them the next day? Like, he basically said,
ultimately, out of frustration is basically what it's about. Frustration, sit down, get it off your chest, and, you know, have guys leave the rink thinking about something.
Fair enough. Does this get him traded, you think? Okay, let's not ask that question. That's not the question. If Zucker were available and there was a deal to be made, he's a right winger. He's a firecracker on the ice.
He's a left shot.
Yeah, but he's a right winger. He's playing right wing.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Is he not? He is. I'm looking at the lineup right here. He's right wing with Zucker, with Koivu and Parise. Parise in the left, Koivu in the middle, Zucker on the right.
Okay.
So
that's good. That's good. He's kind of like a Connor Sheary right now. He's a left-handed shot playing the right-hand side. Obviously versatile because he can play left wing or right.
Winnipeg, same thing.
Yep.
Vanek was a right-handed shot, played the left.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, Vanner actually preferred to play the offside.
I've never put much stock on that, but I think it's the player preference. I don't know. But I'm just saying that if you're a winger, I mean, I was a left winger. I actually would have rather played right wing, but if I was a left winger, I felt like I, you know, with enough kind of practice and preparation, it's just flipping it to the other side, all your responsibilities. My point is he's a right winger, left-hand shot right winger. He's fast. He's skilled. He can score. Would a Risto deal for Jason Zucker excite you? As the key pieces, okay? I don't know if I don't know. You let the GMs kind of iron out which side the deal's more fair for and what other pieces picks have to go back and forth. I'm talking like maybe not one for one if it is one for one, but is that a player that you would be looking at to bring in? Or is there someone else you had in mind?
Okay. You know, listen, Jason Zucker is a nice hockey player. He's had success in this league. He's scored 21, 22, 33, 21 in goals. Is he a guy that I would need to go out and get? No. That's just me. He's a nice player, but he's not someone that I'm targeting, and I'm going to give a major asset from my organization to acquire him.
Okay. So we were talking about when Brandon Montour comes back, the Sabres lineup, it's on defense right now. Joakim Haju's been told to get a place. You're stacked. You got the Joker. You got Scandella. You got McCabe. You've got Risto, you've got Dahlin, you got Miller, you got Montour coming back. I think a lot of the focus has been on taking the assumption, and yourself included, myself included too,
yep,
and saying that when Montour comes back, that will be the time that Risto is moved. We had Elliot Friedman on yesterday. He does his 31 thoughts. He suggested in there that another defender other than Ristolainen could be on the move, maybe. Today, we're going to have Darren Dreger at 11:30, but Pierre LeBrun writes from The Athletic, Marco Scandella. He said, if Rasmus Ristolainen ends up staying, and it sounds like he's happy right now, then something eventually has to give on the Sabres' blue line that's going to be bubbling with bodies once everybody is healthy. Not that there's any hurry to decide anything, especially not with a trip overseas coming next month, but at some point this season, I suspect the Sabres could deal a blue liner given those numbers. Scandella is a pending UFA on July 1 and currently carries a cap hit of $4 million. It's not out of the question, depending on league-wide interest, that he's the odd man out later in the season. He's a quality veteran. Teams normally look to add closer to the deadline. That makes all the sense in the world. When you have an abundance of talent, young talent, and you might know where you are on this veteran player who's a pending UFA at the end of the year and he could walk for nothing, and you know that you might have a guy that could slide in and play in his role, and you're maybe not ready to part ways with Ristolainen just yet, this move makes the most sense, not just for the Sabres, but for Scandella. Number one, you don't ever want to have a $4 million player sitting out as a healthy scratch, number one. But number two, he is a depth defenseman, reasonable cap hit, that a team could take on at the deadline.
He could play in the top four on some teams in this league, and other teams he's going to be, you know, a 5, 6, 7. That's the way it is. Just so currently right now, the Sabres and what they've developed and what they've been, what they've brought in, it's been pretty impressive. Obviously, Dahlin, he's the first overall pick in the National NHL draft a year ago. He's a given. You have Miller, who has been one of the most surprising players on the Buffalo Sabres roster up to this point. I mean, he's played and paired with our future in Rasmus Dahlin. And Colin Miller right now has 4 points in 8 games and is a plus six. He's played very well with Dahlin. So you would think that that line, that pairing would stay together. You have your shutdown pair, the pair that is always on the ice, always taking the defensive zone draws, always against the other team's top lines. They're garnering the big boy hard minutes, and that's their shutdown pair in McCabe and Ristolainen. They've done a nice job up to this point. And now you're going to have Joakim Harju, who cannot come out of this lineup. He's 20 years old, and his ceiling as a defenseman has not even come close to being tapped. He skates well. He moves the puck extremely well. And I'll tell you right now, my most impressive thing about this young man is he defends well too. And he's got some physical part of his game. He takes the man. I've been very impressed. He will be in the lineup. Now you're inserting Montour. So Montour most likely will go and play the left side with Joakim Harju, as far as I'm concerned. And you've got six very strong defensemen moving forward.
You've got some in the minors that are up and coming.
I mean, you can go Will Borgen for physicality and size and a penalty killer. You got a Lawrence Pilot who's going to be Samuelsson is we're talking years away. Johnson years away. Even Fitzgerald and Bryson.
I wasn't suggesting that Samuelsson is today or next year. I'm just saying that in time,
yeah,
you're going to have a continued filter of players. Nathan tweets in. He says, Scandella or McCabe would be the guys to get moved. Listen, McCabe's not going anywhere.
I wouldn't guarantee that.
Okay. I'm not going to guarantee that, in my opinion. I just don't think he's going anywhere. I think he'd be very highly sought after. Yep. The only reason why Scandella makes sense is it's numbers.
He's a UFA also.
He's a UFA.
Yep.
And that's basically what it comes down to. And he's playing very well. That's the other thing too, is that this is not about how he's been playing or his performance. If anything, he's doing Jason Botterill a favor. Because if Scandella doesn't know if he's coming back next year, if he doesn't know if the Sabres are going to want to pay him or can afford to pay him with some of the other guys they have to sign, because they have a lot of forwards they have to sign, then it's best for all parties to just part ways. It's very common. So that's why I think that the Scandella makes more sense. McCabe, I love Jake McCabe. I love the way he plays. I have loved him since he rocked our buddy Dan Pie in Boston. I mean, like, I love Piesy.
He's very simple, solid. He's physical. He's a penalty killer.
He's physical. He has more offensive upside than I think he's given credit for. But he plays a simple game. He doesn't try to go beyond his means. Is that a fair analysis on Jake?
He understands his limitations. He understands his strong suit. He's developed into a really nice player. He moves the puck well. He's very physical. He's got that edge to him that the Sabres need on that back end. He has taken on the position of being a defender, and he's playing against the other team's top lines. You need to have defense that can do that. And Jake McCabe's done a real nice job with that. I think he's an asset to our team. That being said, when you have an overabundance of defensemen, high-end defensemen, then someone's got to move. And, you know, you would think that the odd man out would be Ristolainen, number one, for his trade value is going to be much higher than anyone that we have or would trade. But the other guy you're thinking of is maybe Scandella, and that's only, and it's not from the way he's played. He's actually played quite well this year. It's just the numbers thing.
Yeah, and Jim tweets in, he says, well, you're certainly not moving Scandella back to Minnesota in a Zucker trade. No, no. I'm not saying Minnesota even needs a defenseman, wants a defenseman, or even wants to trade Jason Zucker, but there are other teams out there that are on the rise that might need a defenseman. And what would a return be? I mean, if you're moving a pending UFA, are you looking for a pick? Are you looking to make a bigger hockey trade maybe? Like there, or
I don't think that that's the case. I think that we have players in the minors if we run into any issues on the forward line. You have the Curtis Lazar, you have the CJ Smith. There's a number of players in the minors that you can call up and feel very comfortable with.
What we're looking at, you think, is like you trade for a third or a fourth round pick and you pick up half the salary, maybe it gets you a third or a second. If it's a fourth and you pick up half the salary, it'll get you a third. You know how they do that?
Yeah.
Is that like, are we looking at a pick, a third, a second round pick? I mean, I don't know what kind of.
I don't think Jason Bottrell right now is in a situation where he needs to take on salary of one of these players. You know, if it is, it's going to be minimal. Scandella is a good hockey player. He makes $4 million a year. Well, you know what? Go look at the defense corps around the National Hockey League. There's a lot of $4 million players playing as a third pairing defenseman. I think Scandella's had a really nice year. I think he's played actually very well with Joakim Harju. And you know what? If someone's going to get moved, it could be Scandella to move in a very, very good player in Montour, which, we will continue, I think, with moving forward. We're going to have a strong defense corps. Jason Bottrell has done a fantastic job developing some, trading for others, bringing guys in, and now he's in a situation where he's built such a group that one of them has to go.
All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, 5 minutes for fighting. Did you see the tilt last night?
I did, yeah.
Pretty good tilt in the NHL. We don't really see many of them. I think the last punch thrown around the league was Roman Josi. Mark Stone.
And Mark Stone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Heavyweight tilt.
Slapping.
Anyway, we got this Sabourin guy that nobody heard of. Remember when Austin Matthews looked at his jersey, didn't know who he was? Well, he went after maybe the last of the enforcers. We'll talk about that when we return right here. This guy gets more time on our show than you do. We'll be right back.
Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
Montreal, number 47 for Boston. Both guys, 5 minutes each for fighting! 5 minutes each for fighting!
All right. So last night, this Sabourin guy, don't even know his first name, that's how new he is. That's not really respectful to what he's done to get himself recognized, but he's the guy that Matthews was laughing at. Then he scored his first NHL goal in his first
against
game
Toronto.
Against Toronto, which was awesome. Really happy for him. They lost
now
that game.
Austin Matthews knows who he is.
Yeah, Matthews scored two goals that game, and they won. It was the first game of the year for Leafs, so I don't think he really cared, but it was just nice for Sabourin.
Yeah.
However, he goes last night and he squares off. Here we're gonna show it. And if you're in the car, or you're not
first
able
shift
to,
of the game.
First shift of the game. 17. This reminds me a lot of what I used to do. And I'm gonna tell you something right now because we don't see this often. Looks kind of stupid. It looks kind of stupid. And they're squaring off and they're like, yeah, we're gonna punch each other in the face. Why do we like? Let's do it. Here we go. Okay, one, two, three. Ryan Reeves, I give Sabourin a ton of credit, though. He went lefty with a wide-open righty with Ryan Reeves. And then you got Ryan Reeves, you know, doing the hand thing. And we talked about Reevesy yesterday. And I don't know, Riv, how you feel about this. I think people miss fighting. I just look at this and I have flashbacks of what I used to do, and I'm kind of embarrassed.
Why? Why is it? What irritates you about this?
I love the spirit. Listen, I know what's going through both their minds.
Guys.
I know what's going through Sabourin's mind more than Reeves. I can tell you that.
Well,
Sabourin's probably terrified, and Reeves looks pretty.
Fear.
Reeves
fear.
Looks pretty calm and cool, but I'm sure Reeves has fear too.
Because he does. I don't think
George
he does.
George the Rock told me that the night before anybody came to town, even me, and I would sit there and be like, oh my God, George is probably over there like relaxed and I'm sitting over here sweating bullets.
Yeah.
And so he told me that he was scared before every fight. Yeah.
So George LaRocque was fearing another heavyweight that could do damage. He feared Donald Brashear and Tony Twist and Bob Probert and Andrew Peters. And you can go on and on and on and on and on and on. And he feared those guys because those guys could do serious damage to him. Even though George LaRocque was considered one of the heavyweight champions of the league for many
years.
Here's the thing. Ryan Reeves knows that there's not a guy in this league that's even close to him. That player there is 25 to 30 pounds less than Ryan Reeves. Okay?
Let's check the tail of the tape here.
I've already done it.
Oh, ooh.
That's why I'm saying 25 to 30 pounds. So what I'm saying is Ryan Reeves is an enforcer. He is a big, powerful, powerful, strong guy who knows how to fight. Listen, I love that Scott Sabrin has stepped up to this challenge, but he is not a heavyweight. He would be considered like a middle heavyweight type player that never fought guys like Ryan Reeves back in the day. Ryan Reeves is not nervous at all. Saverin is, I can guarantee you, is scared out of his wits because one punch could do major damage.
Yep.
And you know what? I give so much credit to Scott Sabrin. He knows that his team needs this boost. He needs to take the wind out of the sails of Ryan Reeves to say, I'm not afraid of you. No one's afraid of you. The Ottawa Senators aren't afraid of you. And now what happens for the rest of the game? They just played hockey.
Well, here's what I'm going to tell
you. They still got beat by a much better team.
Here's what I'm going
to
tell you.
But it was a game.
Scott Sabrin, that's his name, Scott?
Yep.
Okay, Scott Sabrin. I won't forget that from here on out. But Scott Sabrin just earned himself a lot of space in the NHL. And I'll tell you why. He didn't beat Ryan Reeves at all. He didn't even come close. But I'll tell you what, the next time he's flying down the, because he plays a physical game, he'll go after Matthews, he'll fight Reeves.
Yep.
He's making a name for himself. And he can play. His goal against Toronto was a nice goal.
Did you see him punch Max Domi 50 times in the head? Max didn't even know where they were coming from, and then the fight was done. This kid is a very, very tough kid. In today's game, he's an extremely tough kid, and he could play the game. He's fast, he's big, and he's physical, and that's why Ottawa has him in the lineup. He's big, he's fast, and he's physical. He can play the game. And you know what? He's an asset to the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, he has a track record of physicality. Junior, 142 penalty minutes, in a time where fights are way down. So you know, back in the early late 90s, that's like 300 minutes. 140 and 47 in the A. I mean, that's a good year. They do tens and stuff there, but still, you know, he's known for his physicality. All I want to say is this: is that. I feel more and more, the less fighting that we see, like that game, the Anaheim game, Sabres game the other night, everyone's like, oh, it was so physical. That was a calm game 15 years ago. That was like, there weren't any fights. There weren't even any fights. There were almost fights, but there weren't any fights.
15 years ago.
Okay. And I know the game's changed. And that's why I'm saying right now, when I watch these two guys square off last night, and I'm watching this, I'm just, it gives me anxiety and basically PTSD of flashbacks to the embarrassing role that I had to do. These guys look like complete and utter jackasses. Jackasses. That is embarrassing. I can't believe I'm even saying this.
What the heck are you talking about?
You're
telling me you watched this fight and all of a sudden you're saying that it's embarrassing?
Yes.
I thought it was entertaining.
Well, it's entertaining because we don't see it as much anymore.
Super entertaining back in the day. And that fight there... It was entertaining.
I get where the argument of entertainment is. It's not entertaining for the guys in it. I mean, like, that's exactly my point. Like, I'm sitting here, I'm like, I don't want to watch these guys. I'm watching them like as if like it's my mom watching me. I'm thinking my mom couldn't even watch me play hockey from the time I was 18 years old, because every night she literally had to worry about whether or not my career was going to get ended by a punch. I think differently now. I appreciate fighting in the game. I appreciate defending your teammates. I appreciate two guys going into the corner and getting pissed off at one another. And then all of a sudden, the gloves come off. They wrestle. They give each other a couple scratches in the face, and they fall to the ice. This is I don't know. It's just I used toward the end of my career when I was dropping the gloves and the game would stop. I mean, I could sense my team. I could sense the league. I could sense everybody just kind of saying, like, there's no purpose for it. Like, you're just stopping the game for what? Like, you're stopping the game. So I would have much rather seen these two guys go,
you know what, though?
play a very hard shift, battle and have to come together because they did something physical within the game and not just.
But that is part of the game still. It is part of the game. That Scott Severin did something last night that not many players have done in the National Hockey League. And that's challenge the toughest guy in the National Hockey League. Do you not think
it
that
takes courage and stupidity?
Whatever,
it takes a little bit of both.
Whatever you want to. Yeah, listen, I mean, the way you speak right now about being an enforcer and the anxiety and the things that you had and you didn't like it, you thought this, that, and the other. There's another enforcer in the same era that loved fighting.
I know.
He loved being an entertainer. He thought that he was like an actor, like a movie star. Everybody got up and cheered and this and that. And he probably has, I wish I could do that. I wish I could still be doing that. He's at home right now with another job and he's sitting there saying to himself, I wish I could do that. I would do anything. Where you saw things in the same area. You were the same tough guy, super crazy tough, fought all the toughest guys, and you have a completely different outlook on things. And that's just the amazing part of the game is you're sitting there saying that this is meaningless. This is a great fight. I just look at this and say, this is a great fight.
10 years ago, I would have been like, wow, that's a great fight. But I don't know. I saw it and I just thinking to myself, I'm like, I don't want to see Ryan Reeves throw his gloves down so calm and cool because he thinks he's going to go pound some guy. Like, go score a goal. Like, I mean, I'm basically like making the same criticisms now that I think people were making of players, of my ilk, if you want to say. And I don't know. I think I just have a different appreciation for, you know, the skill level of the game and you know, players not having to do that. I'll never say that fighting doesn't have a place in hockey, because in a really twisted, ironic, weird way, it does, and it keeps players honest. But I'm just saying, two guys going out just trying to, you know, prove their mettle to the world, it doesn't do anything to me. It doesn't do anything for me. Maybe it's just because I was in that
seat before.
Well,
again, it doesn't do anything to you, and I can understand that, and I appreciate it and honor that. But at the same time, I think this is great. I think Scott Severin did something last night that not many players in the league have done for a very long time. And that's challenged the toughest guy in the league, in his own building. I thought he did a great job. They got it out of the way. And then they just played hockey. And it was great.
I got Blue Cheese tweeting me, listening to me talk about how he'd rather have the game turn into Cheap Shot Circus. No, I'm not saying Cheap Shot Circus. I'm saying, you know, guys, if you're going to scrap, just, you know, stick up for yourself. You know, I don't think you need that. Anyway, we went way over break. We're going to come back with a sports update. And there was something, some Ralph Kruger sound coming up after the sports update. We'll talk about the Sabres as they get ready for San Jose tomorrow. And Darren Dreger at 11:30. So stick around.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.